When I was an economics student at Sydney University, way back when, I saw one day there was a drive for blood donors. And so I thought, I probably should do that. You know, I'm sure that I'm eligible. And so, you know, that began this tradition of being a relatively regular blood donor. I've now donated more than 100 times. And in more recent years, I've stopped donating whole blood so much as plasma. Now, whole blood is one thing when they shove this massive needle up your arm and start, you know, drawing the blood out. I probably should have given a content warning about medical procedures will be discussed during the... plasma is kind of more interesting because as the blood, you know, comes out, it goes into the centrifuge, and as it circulates, and then, you know, the plasma is extracted, and the red blood cells are then kind of returned with a mixture of the saline solution and an anticoagulant kind of mixture. And, you know, you can kind of just see and observe, and it's quite, you know, you're there for about an hour, you know, watching your blood kind of flowing in and out of your body through this process. And just, you know, remembering, you know, that the place is called lifeblood. You know, it's this place where we're able to experience that sense of how central, how crucial blood is for us. You know, we've seen so many movies where someone has had an accident or something has happened and they're bleeding kind of uncontrollably. And unless you stop that blood flow, there's only one consequence of that, which is that the person will die. And we know that if we lose too much blood, there's nothing that medical science can do unless you can intervene in time. So blood is this crucial part of our experience. And even back, you know, 3,000 years ago, at the time of the Exodus, Moses understood that. You know, when he's having this theophany, this experience of God, in Exodus 20, they're all kind of gathered around at the foot of the mountain, but Moses then goes to be with the Lord. And for the next three chapters, he's receiving these laws, these covenants. It's part of this whole sense of this covenant relationship with God. And he comes down and he begins to address the people, the community. And first, he simply repeats all that he's heard. He tells the people what he has just heard. And he says, "Are you on board? Are you going to come with me? Are you going to be faithful to these teachings and these commandments?" And the people are like, "Yes, yeah, we'll definitely do this." And so it's only then that Moses then sits down and he writes out all of these commandments, the book of the law. And it's actually the first time in the Bible that there's a reference to the Bible being written. That's a geeky kind of thing to know, but there you go. It's one of the very few references to the Bible actually being written. And this is the first of them. And so Moses writes it down, and so then he reads it. He reads what he has just written down. And again, he asks the people, "This is what the covenant, the book of the law, is about. Will you be faithful to these teachings, these commandments?" And again, the people say, "Yes, we will do what you have asked us to do. We will be faithful to this law and to this teaching." And it's only actually at the end of chapter 31 that we hear that the finger of God actually then writes down the covenant on the two tablets. So it's the first time that God is described as writing in the scriptures. And then chapter 32, they break it all. They make the golden calf and begin systematically to break every single one of those commandments. But here at the end of chapter 24, Moses is still optimistic. There's still this sense of hope. And he wants the people to remember what happened on that day. And so what does he do? He gets some of the young dudes, go off and sacrifice some of the bullocks. And remember that, you know, they're traveling through the wilderness, traveling through the desert, and they haven't got a lot of supplies. So any kind of sacrifice that they're doing at this point is really significant, because this is food that they can't eat otherwise. And so he sacrifices a number of bullocks, doesn't tell us exactly how many, And all the blood is collected into these bowls. And I was so tempted to find a way to demonstrate this next part of this, you know, to have these bowls of blood and take half the blood and pour it all over the altar, because, you know, that would look really cool to have a blood-soaked altar. And then the second half, what happens to the second half? All over the people. And wouldn't that be fantastic, being covered in blood as part of your Sunday sacrifice? Wouldn't that be just amazing? You know, coming home and you'd be walking through the streets covered in blood, and people like, there go the Catholics. You know, they're the ones who are just so soaked in the blood of the Lamb and the bullocks in this particular instance. But legal advice told me that it's probably not a good idea to do that. So no blood to pour all over you tonight. I know you're deeply disappointed, but maybe next year. There's always next year, isn't there? Mental note, okay. But the blood, of course, is that whole sense of this is really significant. You know that if you cut yourself and that a little bit of blood goes a long way, you know, that the whole sense of what happens if there is no blood. So being covered in blood, offering these sacrifices of blood, you know, such a powerful reminder of the vibrancy, the vitality of what God is inviting us into. And that's what the Eucharist is at its heart. The God is so longing to draw near to us, so wanting to be part of our lives. He's just wanting to do anything he can to break into that the barriers and all those things that we put up, all those sins, all those dysfunctions, all those areas that prevent us from experiencing that love. And he transforms himself into such a vulnerable place. You know, ordinary bread he can change to be his very body, that we can take. You know, when I hold it in my fingers before you and I declare that this is the body of Christ, you know, I'm moving God through space and time. You know, when we have adoration and we lift up the monstrance, again, it's just that whole sense of being able to take God on our journey, you know, that whole sense of so many of those echoes of that journey through the wilderness when God was present with the column of fire by night and the column of smoke by day. The Lord is there, available, but not just something to be seen and looked at, but we can actually take the body of the Lord and consume it. I mean, how more intimate a thing can you have than to allow the very presence of God to be part of you, that we can receive him, and that slowly I am changed, because the very essence of God, the very presence of divinity is now inside me, that I am slowly being changed as those atoms and molecules of the host begin to be broken down and become part of me. I mean, we live the most extraordinary faith as Catholics of recognizing the gift of what God is making available to us. And he's inviting us to do this precious gift of saying yes to the Lord. And just as the people of the Old Testament, the people of the covenant, you know, broke it pretty soon after that experience. It didn't invalidate it, didn't nullify it. It just gave them an opportunity to remember that you can't do this by ourselves. We need that grace of the Lord to journey with us. We need to keep returning regularly to the altar of the Lord to be fed and nourished. So it's only through that change and that slow transformation that happens as we make ourselves vulnerable to his presence that we can be changed and we can become the body of Christ. We can become the people that God has called us to be. So on this celebration of the gift of the body and blood of the Lord, let's allow the precious gift of his body and blood to be available to us. Let's not just do it as a matter of course, as a matter of habit, but actively, consciously choose to receive him and to let him be there, to let him change me, to let him feed me, nourish me, transform me, so that I can indeed be part of this community that becomes the body of Christ.